The following content is provided under a Creative Commons license. Your support will help MIT OpenCourseWare continue to offer high-quality educational resources for free. To make a donation or view additional materials from hundreds of MIT courses, visit MIT OpenCourseWare at ocw.mit.edu.
Some content in this audio lecture is not covered under our Creative Commons license. Please listen to the end credits for more information.
Okay. Alright, so today's reading was the MDA paper by Robin Hodike, Robin Zubek, and Mark LeBlanc. And it's pretty. I hope you found it pretty light reading, because it was intended to be pretty light. And the whole point of it was that we will be getting through this pretty quickly today, so that you have time to sit with your teams, talk about your project, work on it a little bit, all the prototyping materials in front. I'm going to be putting the boxes on the tables. Are you more or less seated on your teams right now? More or less? Okay. Is every team represented? Let's see. You are the building team. You guys are the... Which? The different building team. Right, the Lego building team. Okay. Which team is that? The what? The hidden information team.
Thievery.
The thievery, stealing stuff, and...
The path building.
Oh, and the path building. Okay, all right. So, all right, cool. All five are here. Great. Well, hopefully you'll be able to make a little bit of progress on your teams, on your projects. So, who managed to play a little bit more of the games? Whether it was the prototype that you played on Wednesday, or whether it was something else that you developed along the way, who managed to actually get some playing done? Okay, a few people. Who did you play it with?
So we just went back to the drawing board and redid new games.
Okay.
Exploring. So we just played amongst ourselves.
Among yourselves, okay. And who did you play with?
Just different people in the room.
Okay. Dorm mates, basically, right? Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else do? Yep.
I mean, we went through a couple more iterations.
Just within your team?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. What did you... Did you play an iteration that you didn't develop yourself? Did anyone... I mean, it's like, if you played within your team, obviously, you... Okay, so if you played a version that you hadn't developed yourself, or if you played it with other people who weren't developing the game with you, how do you... What were some of the things that you felt... That you felt about the game, or what did people say about your game once the game was done? What did people seem to like or not like about it? What were some of the gut things that you were saying?
It didn't end.
It didn't end. Okay. All right. What else? I mean, it could have been negative feedback. It could have been, wow, this is terrible because blah. What was the blah? Or it could have been, wow, that was kind of cool because of blah. Nothing? No one gave you any feedback? They just kind of sat there, impassively. Why are you making us play this? Okay, well, I was hoping that was a segue into a little talk about aesthetics, actually. Maybe what I'll do then is I'm going to make you play a game, a short game, the game that you were seeing earlier. Who's played it before?
The game on the screen.
Yeah, Oasis. Also known as Defense of the Oasis,
of the Oasis.
Which is easily confused with Dota, but it's not Dota. Alright, if somebody would like to volunteer to play through an early, easy level, wow, that's a lot of fun. You know what? You all get a chance to play through one round, because each round is pretty fast. So we'll start with you, and then we'll go on, okay? And then everybody else pay attention, because I guess he's pretty much playing the tutorial level.
Okay.
So it's this was originally designed for the PC. It was actually one of the... It came out roughly... You can just go ahead and play. It came out roughly about the same time as... Casual games, downloadable casual games, started picking up on the market. This was, I don't think this was ever sold as a box product, or if it was, that really wasn't the point of its business model. So you click around.
Well, this is a brilliant way to figure it out. Now what? That happened.
Sweet.
Let's keep walking.
151.
Already searched. Hello. Tap it again. Already searched. You should do something clever.
So notice your turrets are going down.
Yeah.
Water. They like music, don't they? Okay.
Big shiny thing.
How do we increase population? Yay. Throw that
sound. Look, notice that this guy is down there. So this actually turns out not to be the tutorial level, this just turns out to be the first level.
It's the way most people play. Why need it?
That's true. People don't like playing tutorials, it's true.
So are you supposed to find these four technologies? The barbarians are here? Why are they? No, they're not.
You have 22 turns to about two barbarian hordes arriving.
So basically, movements is turns, and I'm just walking.
Yep.
Hello, people.
If you walk to an area you already discovered, that's a current turn.
Let's go over here. Oh, I did something clever.
Okay.
I don't know what I did.
Just when you start.
Oh, your turn. I don't know what to do. I'll just walk here and watch things go bad.
Barbarians are coming. Tap to a city to move troops there.
Move here. Yay, 94 people. Can I move other people?
Try.
No more troops. No more troops. No more troops. We all gonna die. 392.
Oh snap.
So I thought this was supposed to be me learning how to play.
Yeah, learning. Feel the learning.
I'm tapping on technology. I'm tapping catapults. I'm tapping spears. Giving it all my love and it's not doing anything. I think I won.
Come on, Matthew, you got this.
Kill that.
Boom!
What did they do?
Oh, snap.
What?
Saw it.
What?
You win!
Okay, so you did in fact complete the level, but you're probably fairly befuddled about what happened here. How do you feel about at the end of that level, right now?
Like I'm good at touching squares, but that doesn't mean much. Like all I knew was if I found cities, I'd tap them again and I could search.
Okay.
That's about all I found.
Okay, that's what you figured out about the rules.
Yeah.
But how do you personally feel about this game right now? I mean, granted, you only played one level, and clearly the game goes on.
I feel like it's somewhat impossible to control the ending situation because I have no way of determining or upgrading my population.
Okay, alright. So it feels like things are out of your control right now.
Yeah, or like I have no influence, and so I'm just one dude exploring the map.
Okay, so lack of influence.
Yeah.
Just compared to lack of influence, or possibly lack of control, something like that. Alright, so the next person. We're going from right and left, so you're up next. You're gonna play level 2, taking in everything that you've seen so far.
Oh crap.
That's
basically
what
you saw, you can tap on
them.
The purple areas that are in the
purple area to explore it,
so if I tap that, okay.
Yeah. Anyone has any ideas about what he should be doing, go ahead and say so. He doesn't have to play this on his own.
To the question mark?
I'm doing this. I want to discover every square.
Just go to the question
mark. How do you know double tap cities?
Go to
oh, double tap cities?
Yeah, so tap them again, you'll search them. Ta-da!
Oh, you got
go
was that good?
Question
axe?
Yeah. That's probably good. I don't know what the axe does.
Find
go
to the question
mark. Where are you?
He'll get there.
Should I go straight to the question mark?
Yeah, that's right.
Try it.
Yes.
No, it's
but then I'm going to cut off myself and waste turns.
No, because every movement is one turn no matter how far apart it is.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
So if you
can't do it in one turn straight. You have to go one purple square at a time.
Yeah, but I'm saying I want to discover all the squares without going
twice.
It,
you're
going
to waste one turn per square you discover anyway, so
yeah,
it doesn't matter what order you
discover.
You don't use a turn if you're not discovering.
Oh, look at that. Discover right beneath it. That mountain does something. I don't know what it does, but it gives you 10 people.
Okay, what do people think that does when he put 20 people? When he clicked on the mine, what do you think happened?
He took the miners in and they discovered the technologies.
Okay. Go right ahead. Do whatever you...
You can put it on a lot of people.
I don't know if it's good or bad. I waste turns.
Not that many.
Well, clearly it's valuable.
What else do you need people for at this stage?
Yeah, keep running around.
Well, yeah.
See, look, it's now still one turn.
Wait, do I lose followers if I do that?
Yeah.
You're like investing
like
on or something.
Yeah, I do. Ooh, but I got something. I got archery. I like archery.
Clearly because you put enough people. Bows increase your chance of inflicting damage on the barbarians. Good. Keep doing that stuff.
I wonder, it looks like there's...
Ooh, I'm huge.
I know. Hey, double tap the city. Always submit the city again. Ta-da! Look at that. I don't know what that means, but you found another technology.
It looks like...
A chance
of I have no idea what to think. Oh, helmets!
It's like improved defense.
Oh, another city. Greetings. At least two cities survive, I will join your cause. That means this is supposed to be a campaign game and last over long periods of time.
What's that thing right there?
I don't know.
What thing?
Oh, the tent-looking thing?
Tent.
Yeah, you can't double click it, so you just waste
over there?
Two turns.
Damn it.
No, oh, good, another
yeah.
city.
The bottom up is probably the area.
How do you add
water
people?
Or something in your staff?
Damn it, I should have searched more.
It's everyone else's fault, not yours.
Oh, look, that thing, I know you can add people to it.
Ooh,
you got
catapult.
More technology than I did. Very nice.
Barbaric.
Put your troops in the city. Put your troops in the city. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right,
wrong
order.
Oh,
you're
bugging them all. Is that the path that they're going to take?
Two might survive.
Because he's defending his second last city, and he just needs two to survive.
He's got a lot of troops.
30 are going to die.
Oh.
They survive some fatal blows.
Helmets are falling off.
Alright, here we go.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Go,
yes.
Go, go, go,
yes.
Go, go.
Oh, what?
Boo.
So how do you feel about that?
I feel awesome, but I have no idea what happens.
Okay.
The greater the number of cities that are connected together by roads, the faster they all grow. That dude built roads and we don't know how.
Maybe
did he actually?
Yeah, he had roads before.
Did he?
Yeah, you saw it light up and connect. All those things were basically roads. You have the dudes moving along it. His population increased in size. Our population has yet to increase in size.
I think you mean before class started.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
15, dude.
Yeah. Okay. So you feel awesome, but you're still not sure what.
Still don't know what's going on. I do know that exploring is very good.
Okay. So
figured that one out.
So that's some sort of like exploring.
Got no points though. What's that about?
It's good or something.
I got 0 points. Nice.
Level
okay.
Score zero. Score
zero. Okay.
I mean, I got
still.
0 too. My thing was so negative.
That's still a lot of confusion going on. Okay, all right. Next.
But
happy.
It's happy
confusion.
Level score is zero.
No, it says
Alex
not found. No points.
Teamwork.
Oh,
yeah.
Find
the oasis.
All right, figure out how to build roads.
The
water
staff or something.
Sorry.
Didn't it come out of
yeah, we don't know how.
Oh yeah.
Followers. Oh what?
Okay.
Plus 20 starting villagers.
That's huge.
Damn, Mother 7B is the bomb.
Hey, perfect. Click it again. Always double tap a city. That did nothing. Mines?
Get that tech.
Maybe do it again.
Yeah,
Karen.
What are those two temple mounts? Do you want to check that out?
Temple mounts. Oh.
Guys, so I think I figured out the mines. At the bottom, that's like...
It's how
you're
fast
digging
you go
to
your
tech. Oh
yeah.
Oh, so you want to increase mines.
So
you
put
more
faster,
people in mines.
Is it like a multiplier?
Yeah. If you have 20 people, it'll go like twice
twice as fast.
Oh, I guess that's how it works.
Okay.
Do you know about
Do you want to finish, like, get the
so the orcs, I don't know. I just know
if you
want to
find the oasis, then the...
Did you search your city, by the way? Oh, you're building a road? How'd you do that?
How do you build a road?
You just click on
you
the
need
tile.
Followers.
Oh, you need followers. It costs you followers to do so.
Oh, okay. Get more followers and build roads later.
What do followers do?
Can you...
You also put them inside the mines, so clearly you have multiple options that you can do with your followers. Did you ever search your upper city, where you have 46 people now and the population is increasing?
So, wait, points.
On the first level, finding the whole river... what am I saying? The whole lake.
Yeah,
the whole
lake
gave you a letter O.
So...
Finish the lake.
Hey, look at that. Now we gotta do it every level.
It's like pinball.
And there's the opposite.
Yeah, go to the other question mark.
Oh,
yeah, more
here.
Cities. By the way, that looks like a pathway through. Oh, perfect. You have a new mine, you have a new population. You have now a road going downward.
Helmets!
Yeah, helmets.
Don't forget to put men into that mine. You have 20 turns.
There's a mine by the 51 city.
Increase. Alright, you just made it. Nice. Did you search that
search
city?
City.
Alright, you have two followers in the mine. That probably won't do too much. You've yet to find. Oh, good. You found one of the upper symbols. Because clearly those upper symbols are very
useful.
Yeah, we don't know
another
what
city I'm looking for. It's
either in the bottom right or the top left, and you only have 11 turns, so you can probably pick one of them.
Bottom right.
I think it's up here.
He's going top right.
These are farmlands.
No.
Wait, no. Keep looking. You might as well.
I can check in the bottom right still.
Alright,
if you want to do it. Bam! Brilliant. Don't forget
nice.
To search it again. Hit it again.
Wait,
yes.
There's one more city actually.
Do you have enough followers there?
Keep walking.
Here it is.
Oh, told you
wow.
to stop. All three! Now can you connect roads in time? You have two turns, probably
no.
not.
No.
Wait, how do you know
how about for the last two turns, put your followers into
just
line,
just
so you can get the last technology.
On an empty tile?
It's,
there it's five
I,
followers.
I don't think I'll have enough to do that time to do that.
Okay, but you didn't get the last technology.
The barbarians are coming.
Are the cities
your
people
somewhere.
On them stronger? Are the cities attacking them stronger?
I don't know. Put the troops
oh,
on one
yeah.
of them to find
yeah.
out.
So,
there you go.
So
all your troops on one of them.
Beautiful.
You made it. You got
keep
it.
Putting everyone in the city.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh
God.
You totally got it.
Oh,
oh God,
you
that's the first
win.
Good.
Save as many cities as possible. You need more technology, dude. You got it before you had.
Wow.
Also, the catapults and the thing after it.
Whatever.
Now just the catapults.
No, actually, you should say the other
thing. Oh,
but I think
so
I'm
well.
Using
it.
Yeah,
I
think I'm
like every
so
single
well.
City.
Yay!
Boom. How do you feel about that?
I feel like I won the level.
You feel like that? So that's like how? Like.
He built roads.
I saved all the cities.
Okay, so you feel like you saved everything.
Yes.
Salvation. Well, was there a fourth volunteer? I thought
yeah.
I saw four hands. You wanna try it one more time?
Now that we know,
I don't
think
I
could
beat that,
though.
That was, like,
perfect. Get all the technology. Put everyone on the line. Finish the oasis. S. Did we search the, city by the eye?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think dumbing people in mines is essential. I think you need them to build roads.
Is it valuable to build roads in between mines and cities? Anyone know?
I don't think you can.
Okay. So is
probably
that,
not.
Oh, you can go through that pass, so try.
Right, see the art that he's walking on.
Yeah, there
he
you
gets
go.
More followers because there's like huts running.
Don't forget to search the city.
See, like, you got five followers.
Woo! Look at that! Very nice. Now your population can increase. You probably want to get to your cities first and do the oasis last.
That's like a desert-y.
Oh, keep going up. There might be something there.
Ta-da!
Alright. Did you search the city, by the way?
But if you're going to put all your troops on the bottom, what do you need to connect it?
new cities are not quickly, but your technology needs to follow.
You're just jumping all over the place.
Barbarians and Tentorns. Come on, technology, too quick.
See, he's getting like two followers on recovery down there. But when he was recovering,
that's
worth it. He's twice as many followers per turn.
Oh, snap. Upgrade one of your cities.
Oh, you discovered all the cities there.
Pick a city.
Choose the upper right or bottom left. Just upper right or upper left.
We're in the
220 units. That's very nice. Nice. You got at least three technology. No one's ever mentioned that it's technology. Ooh, wrong direction. Oh, last city.
Whoops.
Oh.
Oh.
We have faith in you.
We should still.
Hey, you still have points?
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks. Well, I think it's showing you how the points are added.
Oh, did I get a non-zero score?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
So how was that road?
It was fun. I wish that I could see. I think there was a way to see which city they would attack first, but I didn't know what it was.
Okay.
I forgot. And also, like, I feel like it's sort of pointless that you have to click on a city again to explore it. So, like, I always want to explore it, as far as I can tell.
Okay. All right. So you feel that there are some redundancy going on?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Pretty fun, though.
All right. Cool. Thank you very much. So these are kinds of the things that, as players, you know, the sensations that you get, right? You know, you get kind of like the joy of exploring, you know, finding out new things, pushing back the fog. At the beginning of learning a game, you know, there's confusion, there's befuddlement, you don't actually know how your actions are, you know, changing things. But if you play a lot of games, you're usually sort of primed to sort of accept a little bit of that, and sometimes it's balanced well enough that it sort of intrigues you rather than, you know, puts you off. But sometimes it just puts you off. Someone said that it felt good to save people, you know. You described it as feeling kind of fun, and in the paper there are some different ways how we can sort of describe fun. You know, the it's just eight different types, but even in the paper it states it isn't meant to be a comprehensive list. It isn't meant to be a list that's just exhausting every single kind of fun out there. It's just there to show that there are a lot of different kinds of fun when you play a game, like exploring things, or, you know, inhabiting a role, or overcoming a challenge, or just, you know, passing time in a way that alleviates boredom. Sorry, I have a bit of a cold, so my speech is a little bit stunted today. There are a number of game mechanics in here that generate some of these sensations. I'm going to put aside stuff about confusion and lack of influence right now, because some of that's addressed in the tutorial. It's like if you went through the tutorial and explained to you what all the actions were, you probably wouldn't feel quite so confused about what you could do. However, I think it's reasonable to sort of address the lack of control that you might feel even after knowing what you could do, right? So let's talk about, these are the things that the paper will describe as aesthetics, the thing that the player feels. Whether the paper describes them as desirable experiences, that's not necessarily always the case. It's not always desirable. I mean, I'm pretty sure confusion was not a desire. Was not a desired experience that the designer of this game wanted you to have. By the way, one of the designers of that game is actually also one of the writers of this paper, which is why we're playing this game in particular. So if these are aesthetics, let's talk about some of the mechanics of the game. Actually, can you shut off the screen and bring it up?
Yeah.
Thanks. So let's talk about some of the mechanics in this game. Well, someone describe it. Describe.
Miss.
Okay, so turn based. The game waits for you until you make a decision. It's not real time. Is it not real time?
It waits.
Huh?
It waits.
It waits.
Except for Rune the Barbarian, right? Don't you have like 10 seconds or something to
organize
all your
troops? Except for that.
Yeah,
well,
so
the countdown doesn't start too quickly for your troops, actually. The 10 seconds is actually, I noticed the miners still move and collect more. So
they do that over the course of the 10 seconds.
Yep, but like the countdown doesn't start until you send your troops.
Okay, alright. So it's turn-based until you've made your final move, right? And then that's 10 seconds where it counts down, and you see things continue to happen. Okay, all right.
There's combat
as a mechanic. That's some sort of AI combat, right? You don't actually directly tell your troops to attack. You just place them ahead of time. And then they just wail at each other using some sort of algorithm, some sort of computational input on how the numbers, how that attrition works. What else is in the game?
Exploration.
The exploration?
Right.
So, go ahead.
Like that's how you like find where the cities are, how you like sort of like prepare for the attack.
Okay, so how do you find cities? How do you find cities?
You just have
game?
To walk on top of it.
Okay, so you click on the purple squares,
right?
And then that shows you what's underneath the purple square, basically the fog. So that's they've got a sort of, it's not fog of war exactly, but you know they've got a sort of unexplored fog, right? Which you tap to disappear. Is that the only clue about how to find a city?
It's a question mark.
Sometimes you get the question, the hint, right? That there's something there.
There's like lush terrain around cities usually.
Yeah, farms actually. Don't. It's hard to tell on the screen, but on the iPad, the farms are all next to cities. So if you step on something green, you realize, wait a minute, there's a city somewhere nearby. It's kind of Minesweeper-esque in that sense. What else?
Same with the oasis.
What was that?
Oasis.
Okay, so what about the oasis?
You're also looking for it, and as soon as you hit one of the squares of the oasis, you can more or less like figure out where the other ones are.
Okay, because?
Because it seems to always be in the same 3x4 rectangle.
Yeah. So the oasis.
Well, the terrain shows you, right? Like you see like a corner of the river, then you know to explore this way and then that way, right?
Yeah. Well, the oasis is always a rectangle of some
right.
sort.
Right.
So you find a corner, yeah. You know that if you follow those things, then
you can see
the tip
as well. Like you know,
right.
It's like it's grass on this side, water on this side. So explore this side.
Right. So if the grid was like that, you know, the moment you find one corner, you know which way to explore after the river. So the oasis gives you clues. The tiles of the oasis alone give you clues in the same way that the farms give you clues about the cities.
It's on the hill. Yeah. One of the mechanics is resource allocation.
Okay.
Because we were trying to decide whether or not we should do technology or build roads or allocate them into the cities to defend or whatever.
How do you allocate resources in this game?
You just tap it, I guess.
You just tap it, and what happens when you tap?
Certain actions that influence the gameplay, aka you invest followers in the mines, so then more resources and then technology progresses more quickly.
So you have a limited number of followers, and tapping assigns them to spend them, basically,
yeah.
to get to for some sort of task. So limited followers. I should have started further to the left. Tapping assigns. Assigns the followers. Okay. Other ones?
There's the scoring at the end.
Scoring at the end?
Which is a summary in some sense. Okay.
It seems to be different enough from what actually, like, when you end a level, you get a feeling of, like, did you do well or did you do not well, and then, like, didn't always correspond with the score. Like,
right, the score isn't necessary. So the score is, the score has is kind of different from what you, from what the game's immediately giving you feedback on. The score is kind of like a completely different kind of feedback.
I actually disagree that the score was like that. So I was very confused when, like, we won the first level because everyone died. But we got a score of 0, which kind of made sense there. And then, like, when I went, a bunch of people died, but I still passed level. And, like, that made sense because I had 2 cities left. And I still got a score of 0 because I lost tons of people. Then, when we made it so we didn't lose a single city, we got, like, a score of 1,000 or something. Except we didn't lose a single city and we had a lot of people.
So
I thought the score made sense. Maybe the level progression didn't at first.
Nathan lost some cities and still got a score of, like, 1,000 or so.
Yeah, and he lost less than he had it.
But you lost, you didn't get any points because you didn't discover the Oasis.
I also didn't discover the Oasis.
Yeah.
There you go. See, the score makes sense.
Also, yeah. I was going to say, he said that the score is possibly cumulative over all phases done. And the score for the foreground looked to be equivalent to the third to me, 1,530, if I remember correctly.
No, but the total score is at 3,000.
Yeah.
The total score is at the
level.
Game
score
and level score.
Okay, then that's good. Yeah.
Understand.
There was another mechanic. We didn't really get to discover it, but it was the, like, glowing O-A-S-I-S.
Right. Clearly leading to something we haven't figured out yet. What does this do? Okay.
There was that special follower that we got that kind of, like, buffed us.
Okay. Yeah. The I think they call them experts or advisors or something. Like that.
Right.
And what was the advance? The advantage gave us extra followers per turn?
Turn or
it was
beginning
20
of the
plus
20
for the beginning of the game.
Yeah, so she started you with more. Alright, yep.
There's a glyph thing. Every level that we like, to
wow.
Say we were getting a glyph.
Okay.
Yes. We have 2 of them along the side. It's like sort of same on the same lines as the Oasis thing. It's unclear what they did.
Okay.
Well, it said that in one of the blurs, you get all 12 glyphs, you win the game.
Okay,
so
that's some sort of glyphs equals win. Win?
Like,
you know? Exactly how do you win this game, right?
Yeah, there were also, like, these little blue orbs that got transported into the artwork.
Right.
And I have no idea what that does.
Okay, so when did those blue orbs appear? Did anyone notice?
When you were uncovering the tiles, I want to say.
Well, when you searched, if you didn't get one of those technologies on top, you usually got a blue orb go up. Otherwise, I do not know when you got blue orbs. He got a lot of blue orbs.
The Oasis.
When you pick up the Oasis, when you walk over the Oasis, you get blue orbs. So the Oasis also gives you blue, which makes sense. It's like the bluest thing on the screen, and then when you click on it, blue things move. So there's some sort of, like, color coordination thing.
Barbarians
so,
steal.
Huh?
Barbarians steal your blue.
I know where this meme is going.
Oh, I was thinking that the blue is.
And
no, I mean the last line of it.
Oh, yes, blue.
So
okay.
The one time they got to the Oasis, something happened when everyone, all the blue went to the barbarians. It looked like it was like a last line of defense.
Yeah,
no,
the barbarians steal your blue.
Yeah.
Okay, so either the barbarians are taking away your blue, or you're using your blue to smite the barbarians. Either way, you end up with no barbarians and less blue. Right, it's less. Excuse me.
So do you think, like, if that happened, we got down to 0 blue, we would, like, lose the game?
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's
that was my guess.
I feel like there has to be some way to lose, and we couldn't figure out how. We made that all the time. Yeah.
5 minutes.
You were level 4 on, like, 15, 19, like,
I think.
Yeah. I can tell you one of the things that this particular game designer has told me is that he doesn't believe in game balance. He just believes in making a game start so ridiculously easy and end at almost an impossible level. So somewhere along the way, you meet the level that you're good at, and that's a balanced game. So, that's one way of looking at it. So we find out a bunch of game mechanics. We didn't go into things like roads and technologies and mines and stuff like that. There's a ton of game mechanics in here. These are the kinds of things that a game designer can design, right? These are rules. You know, things as simple as the oasis is always in a rectangle. There's no reason for that. You know, it could have been a river. But yeah, but you're right. There is actually a rule in the game. Every time you find an oasis, it's always going to be in a rectangular shape. These are the things that a designer designs, and then you get dynamics out of a bunch of these mechanics interacting with each other. So I'm going to give one example of a dynamic. One of the dynamics is that as you reveal information about the stuff that's underneath the fog, you start having more decisions to make. Like, well, what's your next step going to be? Because you could click on the thing that you just discovered. Like, if you find a city, one of the things that people were shouting is like, search it right now, right? But then you could also find, you know, a mine, and you could assign followers into it. You could build a road, and some people, I think, might have noticed what roads did. Then people start noticing what roads
did.
Your city start actually growing in number once you connect them up with roads. And of course that helps with defense in the long run. So one of the dynamics in this game is that the further that you play in a level, the more kinds of decisions you get to make. At the beginning of the game, you get to make no decisions besides which one of these next two squares am I going to start searching, right? Up or left. You know, I think you always start in one of the corners, so there's only two directions that you can possibly search. What are the dynamics are there? These are things that arise out of a combination of these mechanics.
Would one be like, you kind of like pre-perform a set of actions, like your exploration, your searching, and whatever, and then after that you just kind of let it go and let the barbarians come and do their bidding?
Okay, so one of the things is you set up initial conditions for hopefully things to work out, for sort of the systems to emerge in the behavior, right, in the long-term behavior. Okay, what else? That's definitely dynamic in this game. The stuff that you set up even before all your turns are over. Like if you set people in a mine, the miners just keep digging each turn. You know, it's like you don't have to babysit them, they'll keep digging. And they'll find stuff, you know, without you telling them to do anything. What else? What else fits this kind of description of something that arises still kind of mechanically out of a combination of all of these mechanics? Let's take combat, for instance. When the red forces and your blue forces start, you know, like little ants start facing off against each other, what happens?
It's like really snowballing. Like really snowballing.
Right.
Like it would like start off like kind of even or so, and then like all of a sudden one force would just like take a nosedive. Like
uh-huh.
At one point like the two forces were even, and then one got to like 90 and one just started dropping and this one like stayed at 90.
Right.
And you can see that too with like the really small cities that have like 20 people or something, which get like walked.
It's squashed, right? You know, okay, so it has this interesting curve on like a successful defense. Like the barbarians are usually here, and the followers, you know, are usually on a slightly lower number because there's a huge number of barbarians that show up all of a sudden.
Technology.
Huh?
We got technology.
Yeah, but but often what happens is that you've got a number like that, and it kind of goes like that. Right, it starts off kind of like a, you know, the barbarians still maintain their numbers and all of a sudden just collapses. This is what a successful defense in that game looks like.
But you can also flip it, or not necessarily flip it, but the followers can also take that kind of curve.
Oh yeah.
Except just below the barbarians.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. That will be what an unsuccessful defense looks like. Yeah, I mean that will look more like that, and then it's like, ugh. Right? There's usually more barbarians than there are people. So this is all arising out of the game mechanics, right? This is, you know, this is not an aesthetic experience all by itself. This is just how the numbers, if you plot it by fraction of a second by fraction of a second, you get a graph like this. This is just the algorithm doing its thing. All right, what did this kind of I'm gonna go back to like a successful defense. So this arises out of the mechanics of the game. You know, everything that you know in the game to like get followers into a city, give them technologies, mine stuff, you know, search cities, you know, make sure there are enough followers by connecting the cities up with roads. The other thing that roads allow you to do is redistribute followers between cities that have been connected. That's the thing that you get to do in those last 10 seconds, is that you don't just assign everybody that you've got. You can say, all the people, go into this one city. You can actually do that if you connect them up with roads. You have 10 seconds to do that. So everything leads up to how many followers you've got in the city that the barbarians are going to attack, right? You know, this is going to, this interaction that keeps going on until all the barbarians are destroyed. And then you get this curve. And what sort of aesthetic does it generate? What does the player hopefully experience because of that?
You like cheer for your forces.
Yeah.
And then you like feel disappointed when things start going bad. And you kind of feel for them.
Yeah. And then when they pull out of it, because you know it's like yeah, it's like at this point it says, oh no, we're both kind of in the same trajectory. Yeah, sure, they're dropping, but we're dropping too, and things aren't going so well. And all of a sudden, your folks come through, right? You know, and we were cheering, we were shouting our heads up as if our cheers had any influence on the outcome of the battle. I'm not quite sure how to describe that aesthetic, but that's what the player takes away from this game, right? This tiny little moment of the game is actually very finely tuned to generate exactly that experience of the, you're not quite sure what the outcome of this battle is going to be, unless you played the game like for hours and hours and hours, and then you can kind of predict what's going to happen the moment the battle starts because you already know what each technology actually does. But at this point in time when you're still learning the game, you don't know what each technology does, you don't know how the battles are going to turn out. It gets really, really exciting. So maybe there's a kind of like what Mark LeBlanc, the designer of this game, described it was dramatic tension. I'm not quite sure if he's using that term like exactly the way how it would be used in literary convention, but it does feel tense because there's this uncertain outcome about who's going to come out ahead, and then when it resolves in your favor, you feel great. That's basically one dissection using the MDA framework that we just went through. There's a whole bunch of mechanics. They create a dynamic. They create this aesthetic experience, which is the thing that you want your players to have. In this particular case, this was explicitly what Mark LeBlanc wanted his players to experience. He wanted them to cheer for the followers, even though that has no impact on the final result of the fight. So when you look at your games, I want you to be asking your playtesters what they're feeling about the game, you know, usually after they're done. You know, it's like, how do you feel about that? You know, what did you like about the game? What didn't you like about the game? Both are aesthetic experiences that come out from the play of the game. This is much easier to do with people who are actually not in this class, because you're all thinking about the games from the rules level. If you go to somebody who plays games but doesn't really make games or isn't in the process of learning about how to make games, it's a lot easier for them to just think about, well, I kind of felt crappy because I didn't feel there was any way for me to come back in this game, you know, or yeah, I felt like, you know, I was ruffle stomping everybody. Ruffle stomp is an aesthetic, you know. Those are things that you can sort of take as a game designer to give you clues on whether your game is doing what you want it to do from the mechanics that you're designing, whether the game is not doing what you want it to do because maybe the mechanics are interacting in a way that creates a dynamic that you didn't want, or maybe the game is doing not what you wanted to do and it's actually pretty cool. There's always the accidental discovery of your mechanics doing something that you didn't quite expect. You know, maybe you expected something to be kind of like cool and strategic and detached, but then your players end up feeling very, really tense and feeling that everything's on the line and everything could go wrong at any moment, and they like that. Then they say, okay, all right, you know, that's something you can work with. But you may not necessarily understand that's what your game is doing if you're not asking your players what's the sensation that they're getting out of the game purely from the rules. When you're working with your prototypes in particular, it's very easy for them, for you to make this connection back to your mechanics, because they can't be experiencing terribly much from your artwork or from your sound effects, right? You know, unless you're making sound effects with your mouth or something, and you know, probably it sounds pretty goofy. But you know, they can only really sort of get an aesthetic experience out of your rules. Now, obviously, this is not the only way that you can convey an aesthetic experience. That you can do things through art, sound, storytelling, characters, plot, and everything. We'll go into that a little bit more before assignment two, because you're going to be exploring that with assignment two. But this is one particular kind of aesthetic that which I will refer to in this class as system aesthetics. The aesthetics that come out from the system of all of your mechanics working together. And in this project, this first assignment, you don't have to worry about hitting the desired aesthetic. You don't really have to. That's not the goal of this project. I want you to figure out everything that your game mechanic can do. And by the way, there was a question at the beginning of class, what if we wanted to change that mechanic because you discovered something along the way? That's fine, but whatever you change it to, make sure that you're going deep into that thing. Make sure that you're not just like running with what you stumbled with and then not developing it any further. Try to really, really explore what you eventually will declare that you're looking at. The reason for that is that I want you all to have like the experience of going really deep into mechanics and figuring out all the different things that one mechanic can do, so that later on when you all mix and match and form up into assignment two and assignment three teams, you've got like a pool of knowledge, and more importantly a pool of experience in sort of exploring what a mechanic can do, so that you can take on new mechanics, you can share information with each other, and use that later to generate interesting aesthetic experiences. Because in the end, this is what the players are here for. They don't care about the amount of work that you put into here. They only care about whether the game makes them feel the way that they want to feel right now for, while they're playing your game. So, any questions? Well, we'll probably go a little bit more into things about mechanics later this this month, but right now, the rest of the class is actually time for you to work as a team. Some of you probably haven't seen each other since Wednesday and may not necessarily even have talked to each other, so that's fine. Take time now. If you've got something that you need tested, you have two options. One, you can grab Rick and I. Or two, you can grab other people in the classroom who may not necessarily have played your game. I would suggest asking people who haven't played your game before for to test. But tomorrow is actually the formal playtest. So what you absolutely have to have by the end of this class, or rather what you have to have by the beginning of tomorrow, tomorrow's class, is something that can be playtested in class. So today there's no required playtest. Tomorrow there is. Alright? And there's also reading for tomorrow, but it's not that bad either. I think it's gone on normally. Again. Let me just make sure of that. Oh no, it's David Parlin. Yeah, it's going to be just looking at one thing, which is the randomizing and the function of dice in games. So, okay. Work in your teams, and all the materials are here. We'll put it on the table.
Content from the following sources is copyright of the respective holders, all rights reserved, excluded from our Creative Commons license. For more information see ocw.mit.edu/fairuse. Oasis. Play First. 2005. Video game.